This is HICF Ministries. We pride ourselves as a home away from your home country, a home away from your heavenly home, a home where Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Yes, it's a home where the living word is shared word for word in truth and in love. You are invited to stay tuned. Listen to the Word of Life brought to you by HICF Ministries.
And now, Reverend Dr. John Dickey.
God Almighty, we thank you for another time in your presence to hear from you. We pray that you bless this hour that we'll receive from you. Cleanse my mouth, my lips, my thoughts. Let every word that proceeds out comes from your throne to the touching of lives, changing of lives, encouraging, strengthening, rebuking, correcting, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Our journey of the unpacking of John 3:16 series began with the story of Mother Rizpa. In 2 Samuel chapter 21 verse 10, her children were among the seven men the Gibeonites demanded to be killed as ransom for the attempted genocide on their nation by King Saul. For 5 months, she watched day and night over the dead bodies of her sons. For 5 months, she fought the beasts, the wild beasts, keeping them away from devouring the flesh. She withstood the rotting and stench of the bodies. Mother Rizpa watched every flesh dropping off the bones of her dead children. This is love. Love, unfathomable, unyielding, unquenchable love for her children, even in death. What was the takeaway from that sermon of Mother Rizpa's love? If a human being can demonstrate such a powerful, amazing love, how much of God, who is love, who is the root of the love that mothers like Mother Rizpa have? If Mother Rizpa, a human being, could watch over her dead children with no hope of bringing them back to life, how much of God, who is life himself? He is able, brother and sister, to bring back every dead situation in your life and in my life now and now. He does not have to wait for a minute. Now, if only we will believe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It was on this premise, based on this foundation, the Holy Spirit led us to begin the series in John 3:16. If you remember, I said also that it was my conviction that the message God will have us preach, supposing if tomorrow is the last day of humanity, is John 3:16. It ought to be preached now and all the time, especially in our time, the love of God and the wrath of God, the gift of life, the choice that we have in it. John 3:16 holds a lot for the times that we are in now. I recall my prayers when we began that series. I said, Father in heaven, open the eyes of our hearts to behold the revelation of John 3:16, the mystery of John 3:16. I believe after we have gone thus far that he has answered that prayer. But my prayer this afternoon, now that the curtains have been drawn, the truth has been once again made clearer to each one of us about John 3:16. I pray we will all live by the truth of those revelations in our lives until we see Jesus in everything we do and until we see him coming in glory. Hallelujah. Give him praise. Now to the parts. Part 1 to 5 that we have done to refresh our memory. And for those joining us today, or those that will listen to the audio later, here are the summary of the 5 parts that we have covered thus far. Part 1, it says what? Do you know John 3:16? That was the title. And that was the text of that part 1. Do you know John 3:16? In other words, do you have knowledge of John 3:16? What does it contain? You see, in life, knowledge, understanding, and wisdom are central in every aspect of our life, especially for us believers, that we have the knowledge and understanding and wisdom. When you read through Proverbs, it talks about 3 things: knowledge, understanding, wisdom. You cannot separate knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. The 3 of them work like a system. And this system is a complete unit. If any part of it is missing, it may not function properly. There will be malfunction. Knowledge is the base. And then gradually there is that understanding. Why did the Bible say my people perish for lack of knowledge? Hosea chapter 4 verse 6. My people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. It did not say my people have been destroyed from lack of understanding. Understanding and wisdom will follow naturally. If you have never seen a brush, I brought something, I tell you this is brush. You have never seen a toothpaste, I tell you this is toothpaste. That is information. You have never seen them. So knowledge is like one point dimension, understanding is like 2 point dimension that you pull that from that point to this point, you join it and it becomes a line. So brushing of feet with brush with toothpaste on it is understanding. While separately, you just have knowledge, it is toothpaste, this is brush. But putting it together to brush your feet is understanding. And why you have to brush your feet comes wisdom. This single verse with about 25 letters in King James Version or 26 in NIV holds a lot that we can imagine. Therefore, when we ask, do you know or have you knowledge of John 3:16? In essence, we are saying, are you familiar with the facts, the truth of John 3:16? Are you familiar? That is to say, you have read, you have memorized, and you are familiar with it. You see, I said, are you familiar with the facts and truth of John 3:16? Facts are facts, but some facts are not truth. Are you familiar? Are you educated on John 3:16? Do you know God? It talks about God. If you pieces the words, the sentences in John 3:16, you have about 25 or 26 words there. It talks about God, number one, God. It talks about love. It talks about God's Son, who is man, why the sacrifice. It talks about life and eternal life. It talks about freedom of choice. It talks about what? Mercy and judgment. Are you educated on John 3:16? Are you conscious of John 3:16? It also talks about pride, paradise and hellfire. Now, many people don't want to talk about hellfire. They want to talk about paradise. I want to say, run away from any church that does not give you a balance of the truth. Plainly. The truth of it, you cannot preach about the love of God without telling the consequences of rejecting or treating it with contempt and carelessness. Have you gained experience of John 3:16? Are you still experiencing John 3:16? Because it's something that every day you grow in it. Are you growing in John 3:16? Are people around you gaining from your experience of John 3:16? Have you appreciated John 3:16? Are you still appreciating? Because each day, if you meditate on that, there is something to gain. There is something to see new. Yes, there is balancing in John 3:16, the love of God. But towards the end of that, it says what? For whosoever believeth in him shall not what perish. It talks about judgment of God. For anyone that rejects, it talks about God came to give life because there was no life. We were dead. There is something that equals the love of God. And what is that? It's the wrath of God for rejecting him. Finally, does John 3:16 still amazes you? Does it still amazes you? If you look at what happened, the gift of God. How could a father give the only son who had never done anything wrong, but always in obedience to the father? Yet the father gave him to be humiliated, to be beaten, crucified for a people who wanted to overthrow the kingdom of his father. They wanted to dethrone. That was what happened in Genesis. They wanted to be gods, to be on their own, created by God Almighty, but they want to dethrone him. They want to also be gods. And yet God gave his son to this. It's unimaginable. And you know one thing? God could have done it in another way. It's still amazing. Does John 3:16 still amazes you? Next, we came to the most controversial word in this world. The word God. And that takes us to part two. Who is God? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. The word of God says, we love because he first loved us. But you cannot truly love without knowing what you are loving. You cannot what? Truly love without knowing what you are loving. So likewise, you cannot truly love God without knowing who God is. Who is God? Let us run some information, some facts and truth about who is God. God is love. God is life. That is Him. What is love? God is love. God is life. That is why He gave Himself. He is not giving love. God gave Himself because He is life. He is love. God is the creator of all that is visible and invisible, and there is no any other beside him, no second, no third. God does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. God has feelings and emotion, but they are always in check. God can be angry, and he can be so joyful that he can even sing for you. God has stunning facts. Now listen. Some of you don't know. You think he's just a father Christmas, he never gets angry. God has what? Fierce anger that you can ever imagine. This God of love can cast you into the lake of hellfire based on your choice. Let me tell you, if God is real, which is true, he's real, heaven is real. And if heaven is real, hellfire is real. Don't make mistake of this reality. The balance of this are all contained in John 3:16. What about the size of God? Well, he is as big to fill the universe and as small to fit into anything, anywhere, in the sea, on the land, in the air. He's there. ever present. That is why he's called the omnipresent God. God determines the end of the matter from the beginning. And that is why he says, commit your ways. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end of it is destruction. Because God knows what is ahead of what you can see. He doesn't have to wait to see the end of a matter before he knows it. He decides the end from the beginning. Hallelujah. That is my God. And that is why when he chooses a path, he knows the end of that matter. And he is a good God. He always plans the good for us. God is more than what you can describe from your experience or knowledge of him. We are limited. There is no way, the Bible says, who can fathom the depth, the width, the height of the knowledge of God. So we are careful to limit him based on our experience or knowledge of him. He's more than in a thousand ways. He approaches things, he does things. We may only know that he does it in two ways, three ways. And that is why it is important that we are one body in Christ Jesus, because he may appear to you in this way, in a form of fire. In another way, he will appear in a different form, like a man, like an angel. And that is why when we come together, we share this great information. This is how God appeared to me. This is how God appeared to you. We see him in different ways. Hallelujah. In the house of God. I'm excited. God can be known personally, independent of your race, whether you are black, white, whatever color you are, from whatever country, you can know God. Independent of your sex, male or female, child, old, independent of your educational status or your financial status. The poor man in a small village can know God as the richest man in the city can know him. He is the same. He doesn't change because you are poor. He doesn't change because you are rich. Now, all what we have listed and more that you can add to what I have listed, there can be information. Somebody can read about this and say, well, that is facts about God. But as a believer of God, what has this knowledge done in your life? This knowledge. Personal knowledge of God is central and critical in the life of a believer. If you know God, there are things you will do. If you know God, there are things you will not do. We concluded on this fact of who is God by this. If you don't know who is God, you will not know where he is, and therefore you can find him. If you don't know who is God, you will not know where he is, and therefore you can find him. If you can't find him, the following scriptures tells the result of finding him or not finding him. John 17 verse 3. Now this is eternal life, that they may what? Know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Proverbs 8:35. For whosoever finds me finds life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you find him, you find life. If you don't find God, you don't have life. But how can you find something you don't know about? That is why sometimes God is closer to you, you don't know. That's why you have to know that he can appear in different forms. You have knowledge and understanding. When things are happening, you know this is the hand of God. When you are in trouble, you know where to go. You know who to call on. When all is lost and is dead in your situation, you know his life. So you involve him so that he can bring back situations that are dead. Brothers and sisters, our faith in God majorly is not about understanding, but knowing and believing. Remember, I said knowledge, understanding, and wisdom, you can separate them, but the fundamental The word of God says, my people perish for lack of what? Knowledge. Knowledge is the foundation. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6, and without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. What is faith? It is simply, as we have always defined, trust and obey. Paul wrote to Timothy in Timothy chapter 1 verse 12, that is why I'm suffering as I am, yet this is no cause for shame. Hallelujah. Do not be ashamed in your suffering, in whatever situation. Don't be ashamed of what you are going through because of the word, because you are a believer. Paul says, because I know who I believe. I'm not ashamed because I know who I believe. Paul did not say, I understand. There are certain things Paul doesn't know. So he's not basing his faith, his belief in God, based on understanding. There are things that don't make sense. They don't add. If you don't have knowledge of God, you cannot truly love him. You cannot trust him. You cannot believe in him. Those truths about him are fundamental to understanding and having wisdom. Next is part 3, the summary of part 3. What is part 3? Part 3 says, what is love? To be more precise, what is love in the context of John 3:16? This four-letter word holds the key to man's solution to literally every problem he is facing. God, the word love and life are all one and only one thing. Summing up, God cannot be separated. Love is not the feeling, as we said last time. Love is not the feeling you feel when you feel you are feeling a feeling you feel you have never felt before. That is rubbish, garbage. Love in the context of John 3:16, in summary, are 3 points. Love, as we see it in John 3:16, is giving what the recipient does not have, nor cannot afford. And if you are careful to understand, in order to give, you must understand what is the lack, what is it with the recipient. God who created knew our, what we need, what is the best. Love is given the best. The third point, love must be demonstrated or expressed in person. God could have, from his throne of grace, saved the situation. But he came down to be where we are, because it is important to demonstrate it. It is in order to be there in person. That's true love. That's true love. Hallelujah. And then we said, when you say, I love God, what does it mean? You are saying that you are a child of God, and you are declaring, I'm not my own. God lives in me and he is in charge of my life. Anyone that truly loves God, that is his situation. And a joyful one. To say, I love you, to tell your brother, your sister, I love you, it means, let me express, I'm here to demonstrate God to you by giving you something that you don't have. Or, I'm here to help bring the reality of life to any dead situation that you may be going. Hopelessness, to be hopeful. Any dead situation to be brought back to life. When you next tell somebody, I love you, you are saying, I want to express God. I want to demonstrate God to you or in your situation. Then we went to part 4. Love gives freedom of choice. Can you imagine life without choice? Every normal human being appreciates the freedom of choice. What were the main points in that part 4? Love does not force. If there is true love, there is freedom of choice. Love doesn't force. You are endowed with the ability to make a choice. Therefore, stop making excuses. I can't stop this or that. That is number 2 point. every one of us has the ability to make choice. And I shall knock out excuses. Oh, I can't stop it. I can't help it. No, you have. It is your choice. Number three, love does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but regrettably allows your wrong choice, and you have to account for it. God will do all to guide you, and that's what He has been doing. He can be patient, and that's why He's patient with us, but He will never force us. The choice is ours. He respects our choice. And then last week we had this title, part 5, many choices in life, but two are fundamental. We said life is full of choices from which we must choose. But again, we'll be held responsible for our choices. Last week we did ask question, and we all unanimously agree that it is easy to choose. Well, the easiest thing to choose from is from limited choices than from unlimited choices. And most of us picked two choices. It's the easiest to pick from three choices, five, to unlimited choices. And then we talked about the different choices in life. Number one, the daily choices of life. To wake or to remain in bed. What to eat, what to drink. What to wear, what color, what brand, places to go. These are daily choices. They are important. But however, we talked about major decisions in life, like faith or belief. Whether you have faith or you don't have faith. Are you monotheist or atheist? Are you a theist? You believe in God. Do you believe in one God or you believe in many gods? Polytheist. Or are you agnostic? Yeah, you are not sure whether God exists. There is skepticism. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. You will belong to one of these. Whether you are in the category of atheist, you don't believe in any God. Or you believe in one God, just like we believe in one God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He must be differentiated. Or you are polytheist. You believe in many gods, many ways to God as well. Then under that major decision, we talked about choosing a career or a job. It's very important. Choosing a mate in marriage, very important. Choosing your friends is very also important. What about where you live? Very important as well. Then we talked under those different type of choices. We have seen one, daily choices, major decisions, major choices in life. Major decisions in life that you have to make. And then choices that you don't get to make, like the date of birth and the date of your dying, natural death. There are certain divine and natural laws that governs the universe. You can't change them. You have no choice. Choices that you don't get to make. And there is the fourth one that we describe, second choices, opportunity choices. Sometimes we make a mistake or we have failure. We still have the opportunity to make it right. But there are choices that you have to be careful that you don't have the power to change or reverse them. If you fire a bullet, you can run after it to prevent it from hitting the target. In other words, your words are like bullets. Be careful what you speak to other people. Do they build them or tear them? Some people can be torn and hardly can they get back. Let us watch what we say. Then we looked at exactly the two fundamental choices that matters in life. And what are they? When you look at John 3:16 and Deuteronomy chapter 30 verse 19 to 20, it talks about two things, no matter how you want to describe them, life and death, eternity with God or eternity in the lake of hellfire, Jesus the way or the way of this world, kingdom of God versus kingdom of this world, curses and blessings. They are one, two, and they are the fundamental things, life and death. And then we describe about seven important truths about the two choices that God has given man, that you must choose. There is no in-between, there's no sitting on the fence. In fact, not choosing, if you do not choose, automatically means you have chosen the opposite. In this case, if you refuse to choose life, automatically you have chosen death, even if you say you don't want to choose. And we say the choices are in everyday life. They must be reflected, demonstrated in every decision that we make and every action that we do. The places I want to go, you want to say, as a child of God, will it bring glory to God? The things that you watch, the kind of job that you take, every day these decisions must be reflected. Life or death in it. Either of the two choices, as number three, will influence your life and even those around you. The choices. If you are a child of God, you've chosen life. Your life, you are a light to the world. You shine in dark places. It will influence those around you. Number four, the choice has to be made here on earth while you are living it. It's not going to be done in grave, in your grave, or life hereafter, while you are living. And then number five is connected with number four. You are responsible for your choice, and the result starts right here on earth and into the life hereafter. Life or death? The way of God or the way of this world? The consequences, the result of that choice will begin here, right here on earth. And number six, you can't mix the two choices. If one is present, automatically the other one is present. No two kingdoms under one roof. It is either God or this world. It is life or it is death. It is the kingdom of God or the kingdom of this world. Number seven, either of the choices will determine your destination hereafter. You choose life, it's eternity with God. You choose death, the life that you are living in this world, after this one, you are completely separated from God. And that is eternal death. Then we come today to the final path of the unpacking of John 3:16, part 6. And its title, Is There Really Freedom of Choice When the Alternative is Death? Is there really freedom of choice when the alternative is death? It is mind-boggling. Is there really freedom of choice when you must choose what the one in charge desires you? If you don't do that, then you have to die. Is that a choice? Is life and death choices by God to man a fair choice to man? For example, if I put a gun on your head, I say, give me what you have. Or do this or do that. If you don't do it, you will die. Is that a choice, really? It's just like one single pathway. It's just one lane. It's just like sometimes we parents, when we take our children to a supermarket, we say, choose what you want. And by the time they start choosing, we say, no, you have that one. Oh, you broke that one. Oh, you are not going to have. Is that really a choice? Or we go to a restaurant, we say, choose the kind of food you want to eat. And they picked and we start saying, no, we have eaten that one last week. Oh, no, we can't afford this. Then why do you have to say, choose what you want? Well, that is family stuff, right? But we have an example from the Word of God. Exodus chapter 32, verse 26 to 28. You know that story. When they made the golden calf, When Moses came down after receiving, after spending time with God, he came down with the Ten Commandments. You know what happened? They were worshiping. They were running amok around worshiping their idol they have made. They said, "This is our God who delivered us from Egypt." Can you see that? And then the word of God says what? Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, "Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come to me." And those that went to him, the word of God says in verse 27, "And thus the Lord of Israel says, put every man his sword by his side and go in and out from the gate to the gate throughout the camp and slay every man his brother and every man his companion and every man his neighbor." And the children of Levi who were on the side of Moses did according to the word of Moses, and therefore fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. So in reality, when Moses opened the decision, he said, those on God's side, be here. There are people that made their own choice. But because they made their own choice, they do not stand on the side of Moses. They were killed. That instruction, the order is from God. And we also saw in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 to 12, it says what? If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands, blah, blah, blah. And then verse 15 says, however, if you do not obey the Lord your God and do not carefully follow all his commands, blah, 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 these curses will come on you. Two, the alternative is death. Wow. We are talking about God. And that God is called the God of love. And we clearly understood from previous discussion about love, love does not force. But what manner of love is this, that the alternative choice is death? It is either this way or that way. That does not really sound like there is choice. It sounds like a dictatorial thing, but certainly our God is not a dictator. Hallelujah. As I was preparing this part 6, when I came to this point, I was wondering, what kind of a choice is this? Is there really a choice? Yeah. Think about that. Is there really a choice that if you don't do what I want you to do, you'll die? Is there a freedom of choice? Doesn't it seem like you are coercing, forcing? Now stay with me. And I can tell you, I knew when I came to this point, I knew it was the Holy Spirit that dropped this to me. So listen carefully with this illustration. Here is a case study of Mr. Smith. In the past years, Mr. Smith has been regular with his annual medical checkups. And his report has been good too. His personal physician is a well-known, renowned medical expert in the country. He's an authority. For whatever reasons, Mr. Smith have not gone for medical check for years, and his lifestyle have taken a sudden deep turn, spirally going down, clubbing, sex, drugs, name it. One day he found himself awake in the hospital. His family doctor sat with him to reveal what they have found after running several diagnoses. What is the diagnosis? Malignant brain tumor, or what we call brain cancer. And what is the recommended treatment? Surgery, with other line of treatment to follow, radiotherapy and chemotherapy. Now, for those listening, at this point, I projected a picture. And I'll try to describe that picture. That picture is a bottle of dry gin. Okay? And that label of that dry gin bottle is a picture of a goat with horns, you know, a picture typical of those, a typical picture of the representation of Satan, you know, goatee with the horns. Then on it, on that label, is written hell energy. And then at the bottom, it says release your demons. These are part of the label of that dry gin bottle. Definitely, after taking that hell energy, certainly demons will be released. Certainly. Right?
Now, let me briefly kind of take a case study of you or myself. Let us take a case study of ourselves. The question here, what have we been feeding? Because if you feed and drink that hell energy, demons will be released. Now, my question is, what have you been feeding into your soul and spirit? They are bound to be released. Whatever you have allowed the devil to deposit in you, they are spirits. They are his demons. Time will come, they will be released. You are here, probably you don't know you have such a deadly situation, such a deadly condition, like Mrs. Smith's situation. He didn't know. He collapsed and next woke up in the hospital. And then his doctor was there to run the test to see what is happening. Well, I want to tell you, brother and sister, you don't have to wait for that to happen. Go for spiritual medical check daily. You don't have to wait for any doctor to give you a diagnosis of your spiritual situation. Go into God's MRI machine. MIR machine. And that is the word of God. The attendant there is the Holy Spirit. He will scan you and give you the diagnosis of your spiritual status. You don't have to wait. You know what you have been feeding? Yourself. They will be released. And if you don't know, I advise you, look into the word of God as a mirror. It will reflect whatever the situation that you're going through. Back to the Mr. Smith's case study. Based on Mr. Smith's situation, three questions. How many choices did Mr. Smith have? How many choices does he have? Only two. Did Mr. Smith's personal doctor decided on his own to offer these two choices to Mr. Smith? No. The choices of Mr. Smith were based on what? The condition. Come on, talk to me if you are getting exactly where I'm heading to. The choices Mr. Smith had were based on his condition. So likewise, the choices in John 3:16 was based on what? Man's condition. It is not God just given. It is based on man's condition. Man absented himself from God. He therefore became dead. You know what happened? They ran away from the presence of God. If you go away from the presence of God, if God is not with you, you are dead, because God is life. This is God who is merciful. God offered to restore life. If man rejects the offer, he continues to remain dead. There is just one option there. You choose the way, yes, it's one traffic way. You either continue to remain in your death situation. With God, life. Without God, no life, but dead. For God is life. And if there is no life in anything, it's dead. That is why he came. The story is led in John 3:16 why he came. Because what? To give eternal life. Because the life we are living is a dead life. He came to give life to dead people. In fact, we should be thankful. Mr. Smith should be thankful for him to realize that his situation is dangerous. He's about to die. But there is something, surgery can be done. Likewise, all of us, we should be thankful to God for giving us the choice of life. It is our own choice whether we continue our way based on our condition, we are dead, or to accept life. God is offering a solution that will change your current situation for the better. But it's a choice. Do you want your situation to be changed? It's either what? Two. Accept the life that will bring life back of your situation, that will solve, or you continue in your condition. But it's your choice. You are the one to call the shot. You either continue in that situation or have God take over. Brothers and sisters, bringing our series to a close with this summary.
and no better summary than John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. John 17, verse 3 explains it. Now this is eternal life, that they may what? Know you. Do you know God? The only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom he sent to die. And he died. For whosoever finds me, finds life. Have you found God? Brothers and sisters, as we close, what is the true application? What is the lesson practically in our lives? Listen, anything that God is not involved is dead or potentially dead. It's about dying. Take it serious from the context of John 3:16. The world was dead. You and I were dead. Because what? God was absent in our lives, even though we were walking, living, eating, and drinking. God was absent in the affairs of men, and therefore the world was dead. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him will have eternal life. Eternity starts from here. When you believe in him, when you involve God, when God comes into your life. To God, we were dead. If God declares it so that we are dead, better not consult with anyone with the decision of God. Don't even consult with yourself. Don't consult with the world system. The world has gone crazy. Evil is celebrated in the open. So don't even go there. Let us go back and hold to the truth of God. If God says it, it is true. Let all men be liars and God remain true. Let your mother be liar, let your father be liar, let the government, let your culture, let what you think, all lie. Stand on the word of God. The question, is God involved in your life? Is God involved in your relationship, in your dating? Is God involved in your business? Is God involved in your YouTube posting, in your ministry, in your family, in every aspect of your life? Are you so familiar with the reality that God is life? Remember, you can't mix the two choices. These fundamental two choices, you cannot mix them. If one is present, the other one automatically is absent. You can't have 50-50 here. It's impossible. What relationship has light and darkness? The kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world. Life and death, two different things. Will you decide today to commit to involving God in all aspects of your life? Knowing that not involving him means there is no life in that endeavor, in that relationship, in that project. Don't be deceived by the physical appearance that seems to say all is well. Nothing is happening. I want to remind you, when Jesus cursed the fig tree continued to remain with the green leaves. But we know what happened subsequently. The roots dried up. Don't be deceived by what you can see or feel. Run to the Lord today with any situation or matter that God has not been involved. It is either dead or dying. Run for yourself to the Lord to be restored for things that are dead in your life. You'll be alive again. Run to the Lord for your family, for your friends, for things to be restored back to life. With God is life, and without God, no life. Involve God today. Let him take charge, and you can be sure, no matter how dead or bad it is, life will come back to it. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Go
bless you. Amen.